Okay, everyone, welcome. Wakidish Hashem. Got him have it all turned out. And thanks so much to Shmuel Schwartz for taking the time this morning on a day when everyone could just be relaxing and coming to Mahalva Ilam with his Divri Chizuk. As Avi or someone else just mentioned to me just now, you rarely have a Malava Malka in the middle of the week. I don't get it. I didn't get it first. Okay, cool. Manav and the Malka, yeah. Okay. But Reb Shmuel is going to be talking to us about being Mechaber, the King of all Kings, and we're very excited to hear Reb Shmuel's words.
Right, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Reb Shaya. So the truth is, on a morning like this, you arrive on a horse. My horse is just outside, gentlemen. If you hear it, don't get too nervous. But we're going from here straight to London, you understand. So, gentlemen, a very interesting day. A very, literally like a one in a million type day. Just want to start that. Someone mentioned to me, you know, with all this talk about whether you're going to go and see her or not. So we're told, I mean, I understand that, you know, people are queuing for, you know, so many hours to go and see, have a look, right? To walk past the coffin. Up to, I don't know if it was the Maisa, but it took about 30 hours of waiting and queues of 10 miles long. So I was talking to this gentleman, a non-Jewish fellow, and I said to him, you know, are you considering, you know, going to have a thingy? So he shared with me an insight, which I thought was quite a wake-up thing. He said, listen, isn't it a shame that to see her in a death, you could file past, and anyone's got a right. It's your right, gentlemen. It's finished by now. But, you know, I can't even say next time. I don't know. But for meanwhile, it's gone. And incredibly, you know, imagine if there had been the option that she was sitting there, and we could, anyone who wants can file past her, you know, queue 30 hours, get a look to see the queen when she's alive, when she was alive. Imagine that would have been something worthwhile doing. I mean, that would have been amazing. We'd all be there. The opportunity to, you know, walk past the queen when she's alive. But ironically, the only opportunity to go and see her was given when she'd passed away. There's no access to queens or kings in this world, or very little, my friends, while they're alive. So that's what I think brings home going forward, coming towards Rosh Hashanah, it brings home this point that the incredible thing that, you know, the Rebbeinu Shem, you know, is the Almighty, he exists forever. We're going to have the opportunity to file past him, or he'll file us past him in the living, you know, if that makes sense, with a, you know, a very, very real, you know, no greater reality than that of filing past the Almighty on come Rosh Hashanah. And it's the same thing, you know, Kivnei Moron, the Mishnah says one by one. So we're not going to be walking past the Hamdel Elef Alfi Adolos, a boss of Adam, or a boss of Adam who's not with us anymore. We're all going to be pushed past or walked past like sheep past the King of all Kings. So this in itself has two parts to it. And we'll start with the more gentle part of it. The more gentle part of this is that if we're going to go past the king, and imagine we'd go past Lahavdil, Queen Elizabeth sitting there, and everyone had a turn to go past. So you'd definitely grab the opportunity if you were thinking to say, if there was an opportunity and she had the ability for a person to request whatever they want. Okay? And she couldn't really give you much to be honest. Pretty tied arms, her hands were pretty tied. So when we talk about filing past the Almighty, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself, what an opportunity, what a moment you have to actually cash in on anything you want. I mean, this is the Almighty, you're filing past, it's in his hands everything, he loves you deeply and greatly, and he wants only the best for you, and he loves you like no one more than your parents love you. And it's an opportunity, literally, walking past him to ask him for anything. And that's definitely part of the preparation to for Rosh Hashanah, is to realize there is this opportunity to meet the king. And in that moment, you can request whatever you might want. He's there. He can give it all. He wants to give it all. And you've got actually the opportunity to ask for it all, which is a very, very special and powerful moment to realize you're being filed past the all able, and he wants to give you whatever he can. What I want to concentrate on now primarily is another slant to this filing past the king. Because, yes, he's a king who wants to give you everything, but at the same time, he's going to have a very sort of very pointed look at you. And as much as he's there and it's an opportunity to ask whatever you like, he's also going to check you out and say to you, listen, son, what's been going on? Listen, son, what's been going on? I always have this feeling, you know, as a teacher about me, you can relate to this, you know. So the kids are messing around during the class. You see one kid in the class is definitely eating in the middle of the class. He's eating, right? And you as the teacher decide that's better, you know, partially deaf and partially all that. And you just ignore and the lesson goes on. After lesson, you say, hey, Jack, can you just wait for a minute afterwards? And Jack knows, yeah, you see on his face in a second, he knows what you want to talk to him. He knows exactly. It's all got to do with the munching going on. And the guilty look on his face, he knows straight away. So it always feels sort of like the whole year round, Hashem knows what we're doing. He knows exactly what we're doing. It's almost like, you know, I'm half blind, half thinking, I won't take note. But then there's one day in the year when after lesson, God says, let's have a little chat, what's been going on? So it's quite a daunting, quite a, you know, a frightening moment. He wants to come and talk about what's been going on the entire year. And yes, it doesn't take away from the fact that he's the passionate and the loving and whatever. He wants to give us everything. But at this point, there's going to be a calling to know what's been going on. You know, sometimes before Shachar, especially in Slichas time, in winter definitely, you know, you grab a coffee. So if you're trying to the steering wheel with the coffee, so ever so often you might have a scenario that you tend to get a little bit of a stain on your shirt. And you didn't really notice it was that big, to be honest with you. And then you come into this sort of light, or maybe in the main shul even, and suddenly you look at your shirt, you say, oh my gosh, you didn't see that in the car outside. But suddenly here in the bright light, you've got a big coffee stain. You spend your whole davening like this all of a sudden, right? So there's many stains that we might have that until you know you're meeting the king, you might sort of get away with thinking, listen, this little bit of something. Suddenly you go into the bright light and many a stain is revealed. So the question is, in this filing past the king, who's going to have a very good look at us, what can we do to save our skin? What can we do to save our skin? So, gentlemen, I want to share with you a Gemara, and this, I think, is the opening to it all, and hopefully the relief of it all. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah to Zayin says the following, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Ne'ma'al Matairah, Why did Torah say bring the sacrifice of the Oymah on Pesach? Because Pesach is the time when Hashem is judging us on Tevuah. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you know Pesach Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tevuah Shem Besodos, you should have plentiful crop. Why did Torah say Shtei Alechem Batzeres and Shuos, Nisha Atzeres Van Piris Ilon? Okay, as we judged on the fruit. Okay, and then the Gemara says, Ne'omar Nischamayim on Chag, you pour the water, because on Chag, on Sukkos, we're judged on the water. Is Brochlem Gishmishana. The Imru Lefonai Rosh Hashanah Malchus Zechrin Shofras. Rosh Hashanah, say in front of me these the Malchus Zechrin Shofras. Malchus Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem. Say the Malchus in order that you should make me or make me a king on yourselves. Zechrin Zechrin Shofras Yale Zechrinichin Lefonai Letoiva Ubameh Veshofras. This Gemara is telling us the essence of what we're supposed to be doing on this day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara's introduction is that every time of the year, when there's a judgment of something, we sacrifice me'en, what's called me'en dovah hanidun, something which is judged on that day. So for example, if Pesach is on a tua, we bring a sacrifice from tua, which is the korban oimeh. If Sukkot is on the water, we do the ritual of nisuch hamayim, which is pouring water, which was a day of being judged on the water. Likewise, we're told, what should we do on Rosh Hashanah? What should be the sacrifice to sort of curry favor in the eyes of the Almighty? Imbulafonai Malchias, say Malchias, Kadesha Tamlichuni Aleichem, in order that you should make me the king on you. Now, what's this got to do with the price of cheese or whatever it is. What's the connection? What's the connection? What's it going to do? Where's the parallel of sacrificing something which you've been judged on that day? And here we're saying, say Malchus, in order that I should become a king upon you. Maybe some of you got ideas already, but let's develop it the following way. To understand what's going on in Rosh Hashanah, you can understand as follows. You know, someone has a massive company, big company, with so many different, you know, different angles and so many different sort of departments, right? And every year, like those who know, every year there's appraisals. Is that the right word? Appraisal means you go through the huge database. Yeah, Hillel's nodding his head, yeah. A huge database of all the employees and everyone in different positions, yeah. And you focus on every single employee. And you know, as a man who's in charge of the big company, in that position, you've got to be ruthless. Ruthless means you have to make sure that every single person on that payroll is counting. Every single person on that payroll is doing their role and doing it properly. And according to how you see it's been going, you'll make decisions which could be pretty painful. Those who've done well will be promoted. They'll definitely get, you know, another year in, no problem. And unfortunately, those who are not playing the game will be maybe put onto early retirement. With, by the way, with a decent package, my friend, with a very good package, with a very good package. Let me explain. This company, which is a top, whatever, five biggest, whatever it might be, yeah, accountancy firms, law firms, it's a massive company. It's the most phenomenal company to work for. And incidentally, by the way, the perks of working for this company are fantastic. It's a free car, free rental, free this, free whatever you want. It's all on house. You get a tremendous package, which comes, they've got like a gym on site. What else do you want? Everything there. It's all there. It's all there. It's all sorted. It's all the best sort of perks you can imagine. The biggest and the best perks you can imagine. Now, what happens is, if you're made redundant, you get a package, a very exciting package. But the package is very exciting and big, but that's what you get. You've got no pension, you've got nothing. It's the package that you get. Now, if somebody is made redundant, so they do get a big package, like I said, but then they can sort of work through as long as it takes. So if it's a big package, you can have a very good time, but it slowly depletes, and once it's gone, it's gone. If you're part of the company, you've got the perks, and ultimately at the end, a whopping big pension, which will get you forever. I'm enticing, gentlemen. I'm recruiting, boys and girls. I'm recruiting. I'm recruiting. So it goes like this. The Rebbeinu Shlom has a mifal. The Rebbeinu Shlom has an esek, a massive, 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 a massive business. And his business, sort of focus of the business, sort of what's the motto? What's the business looking to achieve? One thing and one thing only. And that is Kavod Shamayim. Getting his name out across the world. Now, what does that mean? That every single one of us, in doing what we need to do as Elach Yidin and religious committed Jews, is to keep the Torah. And that's the way that you do your job, and you have to do that well, right? And when the Rebbeinu Shlom comes on Rosh Hashanah, he looks, hey, let's see how people are doing in their jobs. Their job of keeping Torah mitzvahs. Are you doing it or you're not doing it? Let's get a bit of a look at you. And it probably is pretty freaky to see that some of you, maybe a lot of us, or maybe most of us to a certain extent, are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the very frightening thing is, Rebbeinu Shlom is looking at us, he's saying, hey, so what comes next year? You know, what comes? The very extreme frightening concept would be that, God forbid, if someone, chas v'shalom, is made redundant, by the way, it doesn't mean he's going to have a hard life. Because what happens is, he's made redundant, and of course, Hashem doesn't just make you redundant for all the good you've done. So you're redundant, God forbid, in your role in the world, but you've got a massive severage package, and that can actually keep you going for a good few years and have the top life you can imagine. You could be having the type of cars you've never dreamt of, the type of house you never dreamt of, because there's so much good that's come for you. But is the money in the bank? Once it's gone, God forbid, it's gone. That could be one type of existence a person's given. But in reality, he's not part of the mifal. He's not part of the esek. He's not part of this big company, which is here to serve the Almighty by sort of bringing his name and his kavod and his melucha to the world through acting the way you're supposed to be acting. The other fellow, or hopefully all of us, Mr. Shem, who are nichtav l'chaim, it actually means that you retain your position, your job within the company, And everything you're getting, like we said on the house, the famous marshal is, I think Rousseau Santa says, that, you know, there was this fellow who came to a very fancy restaurant and he asked for some bread and butter. And they came and gave him some bread and butter and they charged him an absolute fortune. The guy's gawking at the bill. He says, "What's going on? I just want some bread and butter. What's going on?" So the fellow says to him, "This is a very high upper class restaurant. You pay for service like you can't imagine. It costs. This fellow's sitting there muttering to himself. And he watches in the back there. You know, these flap doors, flapping doors, there's doors, flap doors of the kitchen, yeah? He sees in there, gentlemen, there's this fellow there by the sink over there. And he's clearly a dishwasher. That means in the human version of a dishwasher. And he's got a steak in one hand and he's pushing it through. He's just pushing it in. So he's like, he calls over the manager. And in certain language, which I can't express over here, he says, "What's going on?" He says, "He charged me a fortune for a bit of bread and butter. And he's having a steak in the back. He's not paying for it. I promise you, he's not paying for it." So the manager says to him, or the boss says to him, "Listen, this world's an expensive restaurant. Everything in this world, every gift in this world, that means our health, our whatever, every single thing, our money is all a gift of the Almighty, right? So listen, it's like this. If you come here as a guest, that means you're not part of the system over here. It costs a fortune. Those things cost an absolute fortune." That little boy at the back is 17 years old, yeah? Illiterate, by the way, it can go nished, yeah? And he's eating free because he works here. And that's how it is. If we merit to be part of the mission of the Almighty, everything we have in our lives is not costing us in the later, sort of in the world to come. It's all free. Everything comes ala bayit. Everything's free. But the question really is, and this is the sensitive question, are you living your life to promote the mission of God? Is every part of your life wanting and in the fact, you know, promoting the Rabbeinu Shlom's name in the world? Are you committed to Torah mitzvahs 100%? And this is the very fright, this is the essence, you know, it's 2 in the morning for this, yeah, of what the fright, what the pachad, what the fear of Rosh Hashanah is. Am I going to be taken on for another year in the mifal, in the big esek, in the big business of the Almighty? If I am taken on, it's all sorted, by the way, because everything comes automatically. That's one of the big questions we'll get to soon. There's no mention of asking for all what you need on Rosh Hashanah. Famous question. There's no ask for cash, there's nothing, no, almost nothing. All of it we'll see soon is focused on the kingship of the Almighty. So the question is, where, what? What am I supposed to do with myself? How do I get past this? I'm not really being too great. So let me tell you about two workers in this big business. There was one worker, yeah, who was Mr. Reliable. And you have that type, by the way. He was there 9 o'clock in the morning. He's there every day, 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, he's there till 5. But if you interview employee people, five to five, he's packing his stuff up. At 5, he's out the door. Right? 5 o'clock, vanished, gone. Right? He's not there a minute before 9. Oh my gosh, he's there 9 on the dot till 5. Never smiles. A real old grump. And he's never actually, you know, there's offer for time and a half. Can anyone stand in? We've got something going on in London. We've got like a, what's it called again? J Trade. Can anyone stand in? We need someone to volunteer to come to London. Anyone? Never, nothing. Gornish. There's another fellow who's got a problem with getting up on time. So I'll be honest with you, he never actually makes it into work before 10, 10:15. And it grates me like mad, you know, I'm trying to run a big business, yeah, and the fellow's 10:15, not before 10:15, doesn't feature. But this fellow, to be honest with you, is very passionate about the work we do. Extremely passionate. He's oozing with it. You know, anytime there's an option, can someone fly abroad? I'm there. And when he's on the floor there, on the trade, whatever it might be in the one of these expeditions, yeah, expeditions, is that right? Exhibitions. Sorry about that. Yeah. The Queen's English here. Dude, I'm sorry. Johnny, sorry about that. Once she's gone, it's all gone. Queen's English is gone as well. So he's there on the floor and he's talking like this. He's talking like 200 miles an hour and he's pulling people the whole time. And he's passionate, this and that. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. He comes late every morning. He's missed a couple of days here and there. But you know what I'm saying? I look at these two employers and say, what am I going to do here? This guy who comes on the minute, yeah, I promise you, if he'd get another job offer any day, he'll sell me for 50p. He's got nothing. He's gone. The other guy, you know, he loves our company. He might not always be doing what we're supposed to be doing, but he loves our company. And you know, he always says to me, he says, "Boss," he says, "I wish I could pull myself together. I struggle with getting up on time. I've got a bit of a drink issue. I've got a bit of this issue, a bit of that issue. But you know something, I wish I could be, you know, I believe in what we're doing and I'm very passionate about the company's, you know, thing, the ethos, whatever. And I really want to, you know, I want to do this." So I look at both of these guys and say, listen, the guy who's not doing so great, he wants to do what the company wants to do. He's passionate about the job. He wants to be better, but he's struggling. So when I do this appraisal, this once a year appraisal, and I look at these two workers, you know something? The irony is, I could have a guy who's doing very well. You know something? His heart's not there. He's not passionate about what really matters. So you know something? Money matters. You know, you can't have people who are costing the business, weighing down the business. Yeah, it's just a weight on the business. I might let that one go. And believe it or not, this guy who's not even doing such fantastic work, I might keep him on. I would keep him on. The Rosh Hashanah is looking today on Rosh Hashanah to look, what's with you guys? Where's each one of us up to? Each one's files passed, not the coffin, have the LF, LF, before the Almighty himself. And he says, what are you up to? Where are you up to? Now, this is the big, big thing. He's looking to see where you're up to in your commitment to him. And this is the magic. It could be, and we all know, we've not done what we need to be doing. We're probably, none of us can say we're playing the game properly. But if we turn to the Almighty and say, I know I come late every day, and I know I'm not doing what I need to be doing, but all I want to do is work for you. I want to be your servant. I wish I could find a way of dealing with the late night syndrome. I'm going to go for help, A, whatever it might be. I'm going to try and do whatever I can to sort myself out. I want to be part of your ESSEC, of your big company. I want to be a servant to you. And you know something? I want to stand today, and he comes into the office in the middle of this appraisal thing, and the big everyone sitting here, he says, guys, I want to make an announcement. From now on, I'm going to be a good guy. I'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning. And by the way, everyone bursts out laughing because they've got a chance in a million of these guys at 9 o'clock. You know something? See this guy, very full of like sincerity. That's what happens up there. God says, this guy, where's he been? You know, he turns up 10 o'clock. And you come on there, Rosh Hashanah, and you say, I want to make a commitment to come on time every day. And yeah, and upstairs, I mean, they don't laugh, but they're probably grinning. Yeah, they're like, come on. But no, if you're sincere in that moment, and believe it or not, if you turn 10:15 to 10:10, right? That's also something which is showing your genuine commitment. Imrafanai Malchias Keshatamlichuni Alechem, in depth, this is what I wrote there, in depth, I think I put it to revolve, if I'm not mistaken. In depth, what it means is as follows. Every time you're judged on something, you sacrifice me'en the dov alim. On Rosh Hashanah, we're judged. The way to curry favor is to take yourself, which is being judged, and give it yourself as a sacrifice to the Almighty. What does that mean? I say, Rabbeinu Shlom, I want to give myself to you. What does that mean? That means I'm making a commitment. I'm recommitting in the strongest way and form with some sort of real plan on how to do this to be from now on the type of worker that you want in your business. The worker who's doing the job of sanctifying your name in the world, which comes through being committed to Shmiras Torah and Mitzvahs. That's what's happening. And therefore, the Me'en Adova Nidan is you. It's you. And that's why the essence of the Tefillah Rosh Hashanah, nothing to do with your Panosa, nothing to do with your sins. But at this point, when the appraisal's going on, it's not like, well, I did this wrong. You're not going to come into the front of this, all the, you know, the team sitting there. This guy comes in, I've done this wrong. I nicked a bit of this. I came late here. I left early. I don't want to know all that. I want to know, are you firmly committed to the ethos of the company? And this guy comes in and he opens his shirt and he's entirely, you know, with an open heart, and he makes a genuine commitment to the Almighty. I want to change my game. I know I'm not being good, but I'm shouting and yelling. I even have that feeling, you know, when you have that sort of worker. So he's really feeling very strong, and he feels like an idiot because he's not done very well at all. So it's almost like he stands outside the main, sort of he stands outside the company headquarters, and he's got a big banner, yeah? And he writes, there's no boss like my boss. He's desperately trying anything to try and show that he's committed. But you know something? The whole tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, the end part of the prayer, all the prayers for the Rebbeinu Shlom's name to be known to the whole world. And the question is, why is the tefillah for the recognition of the Rebbeinu Shlom across the entire world connected to what I need to recommit to be a better person myself? And that's the answer. Anything I can do to show my commitment to the Almighty, that's what I need to do. Anything. That means shouting for him to be known to the world. That means committing to him myself. All that is saying, I want to be part of this business. If you get in for another year on their accounts of this business, everything comes automatically. Nachas, gezint, everything, it all comes in because it's such a top-end sort of company. It's all part of the perks. It's all there. But I want to say one last thing in the time we've got. it's very hard. We look at ourselves and we say, listen, the nature of what I do, I have to provide for my family. The nature of what I do is how much time in real time, do I actually sort of give for the Almighty? If my job here is to work for him, well, I don't actually work for him technically, I work for somebody else. You know, most of the time I do come to Davening, I'm converted from the Torah, hopefully, and I do my learning, but my life's not a life. I mean, I imagine the fellows, you know, the rabbis, and they're doing it all day learning Torah. Oh, they're the real employees. What chance do I have? I give so much, a little of my time. What sort of employee am I? What am I doing for him? This is, I want to tell you, a tremendous, 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 tremendous thing. We have to understand, and it's all got to do with the head. And maybe this is the takeaway. This is the practical takeaway. It's all got to do with the head. If you ask yourselves genuinely, thank you, gentlemen, why do you work? Why do you all work? Why are you working? Why do you work? Why do you work? What do you work for? So I'd like to imagine if you took time out, you'd think, listen, thank God I've got a family to provide for, I've got children to provide for, I've got to live life. Now, right? And Mefarshim explained, Hashem says, you know, in life, there's nothing which is in between. Everything we do in life is either a blessing or a curse. There's nothing you're doing in your life that's either not a mitzvah or an avera. There's nothing in between. There's no in between for a mitzvah, excuse me. There's no in between a mitzvah and avera. There's only a mitzvah and avera. Either what you're doing is correct, and it's either a mitzvah or it's an avera. That means when somebody's working to make a panasa, to provide for their family, it's not this is in between. There's no such thing as in between. It's either you're doing it to big your pocket bigger and bigger, and to be wealthier and wealthier, and tell the world how wealthy you are. That's one option. Or, bottom line, I have to provide for my family, because I've got to pay for Jewish education, I've got to feed my children, and I've got to build a home or facilitate a home on the morals, on the qualities of, you know, Torah mitzvahs. That changes. The extreme of that is from literally the biggest extreme ever. That means your day job either is avera, it's just full of self-obsession, make as much money to make yourself, or, which I'd like to imagine is sure is the genuine sort of feeling across everyone, is you're working to facilitate a life of Kiddush Hashem. There's nothing which you do in your life, in your work, that's not Kiddush Hashem. Now listen, if you're pulling this and you're pulling that and you're dodging this and you're dodging that, you can't turn around to God and say, this, all I'm doing all day is, you know, for you. That's contradictory. If someone's exercising, someone's playing football, it's either mitzvah or avera. Well, that's the question. If you're doing it to give yourself the type of piece of sort of like exercise you need, or the outlet that you need to be a healthy human being, why are you looking to be a healthy human being? Well, I've got to be a servant of the Almighty. So again, everything falls into either category of mitzvah and avera. So when you stand in front of God and say, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to be a servant to you. It's not like I want to ditch everything I'm doing now and sit all day and learn. Not all of us are made for that. Halavai. Halavai is just all day and sit and learn. That's not what we're sort of built for, and that's not our natural sort of what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wanted to be our lives are focused 100%. Now listen, if a guy never opens a Jewish book, then it's a big question. Was that all you want to do? Or when it comes to spare time, he kills hours on end without a consideration of opening a book or Torah or something, and he can't turn around and say to the mission, my whole life's for you. It's a joke. That's lies. When a person's focus of his life is for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything he's doing, this could be the change. We're not talking about drastic behavioral change, of course, besides not doing the sins we're not supposed to be doing. But in terms of going forward in life, I want to be a servant of you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to be taken on board. We're not talking about drastic changes. We're talking about changes in the way you're thinking, in your approach to life. Everything I do is for you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can that be? Yes, it can be. Because there's no such a thing as something in between. You know, and I'll finish with this story. They say a story of a fellow who came to the Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, I'm struggling with my eating. Yeah? How do I eat l'shem shemayim? How do I eat for the sake of Hashem? You know, do it the right way. So he says, I'll send you, go. He says, go so-and-so for Shabbos. You'll sit with him. You'll know what it means to eat l'shem shemayim. So this fellow goes to join this person for Shabbos. And excuse me, this fellow who went to join for Shabbos, yeah, is a big man. Excuse me, yeah. A very large man. And he's there for Shabbos. And he watches, you know, Friday night, joins him for Shabbos. The food comes out. You've never seen a man eat like that. You've never in your life seen a man eat like that. And it was echoing. It was like almost unpleasant to be in the presence of a man eating like such, excuse me, like a maniac. Literally eating and eating. That was Friday night. Shabbos morning, he off he goes again.
and joins him for the meal again. And the same thing, the amount of chow this man put down was just ludicrous. And then Sunush Lishas, again, the man was eating like something astronomical. He came out of Shabbos very, very sort of put off. He goes back to the Rebbe, he said to him, that's how you show me how to eat the Shein Shemayim, when a man, for all intents and purposes, is eating just for the, in such a ridiculously over sort of thingy way. So the Rebbe said to him, go ask him, why are you eating? What's all this eating about? So he went back to ask him, he said the following. He said, my father, he said, was taken to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. Christians came, whatever this was, early 1900s, and they threatened, either you convert, or we're going to hang you. And my father was a tzaddik, and he said, hang me. My father was so weak, when they took him, they dragged him to the gallows, before he got to the gallows, he died already. And he wasn't able to sort of die, if you like, Al Kiddush Hashem. He said, I made a decision. Well, they come to get me, I'm not dying on the way. I'm not dying on the way. They come to get me, and I'm going to be Moisa Nefesh or Kiddush Hashem. I'm not dying on the way. I'm going to be big, healthy, strong, and I'm going to die on Kiddush Hashem. It's mind-blowing because your mind, what you're thinking is Kaveya. So when this man, excuse me, stuffing his face with food, is that Aveira? No, it's 100%. There's no greater Achila L'Shem Shemayim. That's Achila L'Shem Shemayim. So your guy could be running for 5 hours a day. And it looks like, what's he doing? He's obsessed with his fitness. No, if this is what's needed, or the doctor's told him 5 hours of running a day, right. Or he needs it for his mental health to be a healthy servant of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That becomes Kodesh. That becomes the right thing. So in coming towards this meeting of finally past the Melech Malchi Amlochim, and there's going to be a very pointed look at each and every one of us, the question is, are you part of the team? Are you part of the team? Do you want to be part of the team? Well, number one, shout out loud, you want to be part of the team. And be genuine about it. And then have some sort of game plan of how you're going to be better in terms of coming on time for work. And realize it's not about changing your whole lifestyle. It's about focusing on what's important, having the right mindset, which will change certain things at the end. And you'll have to miss out some part of your daily schedule because that's hard to sort of justify that as a mitzvah. Yeah, everyone has to think themselves, is all these parts, can I justify that as a mitzvah? Ooh, that's going to be a hard one. But if the rest of your day you can justify as needed for your avodas Hashem, all that becomes a mitzvah.
Okay. Wow. So we're always hard speaking after an amazing speaker. But the truth is, I'm also going to be speaking a little bit about company. There was some questions. I think it's the recording. You know what? Let's stop it. I'll do another one.